Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Assemblyman John Hambrick, the former Speaker, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Trey Abney and Liz McManaman. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Assemblyman John Hambrick, former Speaker of the Assembly. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. I'm honored to be here.
House Republicans unveiled their Obamacare repeal legislation. Your thoughts on this, because one of the things that the Republicans want to cut back is to cut back on the expansion of the Medicaid program, and that would affect, I would think, Nevada quite dramatically.
It will, but from introducing legislation to getting it passed, now granted, Washington, D.C., the Republicans have quite a bit of a majority in both houses, so we'll just have to wait and see what the testimony comes in, hopefully Leader McConnell and Speaker will have fair and impartial hearings. They normally do. I like both of them. And we'll just have to see what happens. I don't like the concept of a predetermined outcome. You know, it would be unfortunate for the entire country.
Let me ask you this. One of the things that concerns me is that we have so much reliance on this marijuana tax in Nevada as part of the budget. Does that concern you?
It does. I voted against the concept. With my background in law enforcement, I'm really not keen on recreational marijuana. I think it's a slippery slope. But the governor in his state of the state has indicated that he is going to tax that extensively. And if it goes forward and it is successful with the populace, well, then at least they'll be paying for it. And that increased tax increase, which traditionally I'm trying to try not to support, but in this case, I grew up in the Midwest, and that would be called a sin tax. And we'll just wait and see what the income turns out to be.
What do you think about Senator Segerblum's bill to legalize locations where people can smoke marijuana? Because right now, it's very restricted, obviously, definitely in the casinos. But he's looking to open it up in places like the Electric Daisy Carnival. And he's saying, if we're going to bring tourists here, and, you know, they're going to buy marijuana, they need a place to smoke it that's legal.
Well, with all due deference to the senator, I'd like to see the bill draft. And since it will be in the Senate, I'll be very keenly watching the testimony, both pro and con and neutral testimony in the Senate, before I can make a final decision. I try to avoid jumping in deep water without seeing how deep it really is.
When you look at Attorney General Sessions' comments so far, he's not a fan of recreational marijuana. Do you think that that's going to cause some concern in places like Nevada that have legalized recreational?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we're battle-born. I mean, we very rarely look back east to find out to gain guidance. So I think this state will determine its own destiny.
And do you think that that is the way it's going to go? Because that would seem to me to be the way as well, which is as more and more states have recognized medical marijuana, and now more and more are going to be looking at the tax returns in terms of recreational, that it's just going to be a wave that the federal government will have a really hard time stopping, don't you think?
They will, and I'm not going to get deeply in trying to prognosticate what the other states are doing, but they'll have to look at their budgets and what their outcome is and, you know, their needs for their states. But I think it's going to be a tough road to hoe, generationally speaking.
In what way?
Well, I think the 21, the maybe 35, maybe 40 group will be in favor. I think any over 40, you can get all the way up to people my age in their 70s. I think there might be a little different take on some of these things.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and be as honest as you can about it. And
yeah, I always try to do
that. Former lawmaker, a law officer, rather. You know, a lot of people who grew up in the 50s and 60s partook of a lot of marijuana in those days. Mm-hmm. And perhaps not you, but I'm sure you knew a lot of people that were doing that. And those people are now older. They've got the aches and pains. They have all kinds of problems with cancer, with chemotherapy. Do you not see in that circle of people that there is a bent towards legalized medical marijuana and potentially recreational marijuana?
Yes.
Realistically.
Realistically, absolutely. And I'm going to be the last one to condemn anyone for medical reasons. And I'm in favor of medical marijuana. If you could get a physician's script for it, I have no problem with that at all.
Would you like to see more examination of the product in the state of Nevada? There's federally not been very much research because it's been limited to, I believe, just one state and one university. Would you like to see Nevada take perhaps the lead in that as we've gone down the road of legalization?
No.
Because?
I would.
What would be the harm?
Well, Sam, again, looking at my generation, and as you mentioned, my law enforcement, I had 30 years in federal law enforcement, and it's tough. It's easy to take the cop out of the city, but it's tough to take the cop out of the cop. And so I want to see more research. I mean, I want to see the paperwork and the justification. And I'm not sure whether the law enforcement community considers recreational marijuana a success in Denver or in the state of Washington. Crime went up. And so we have to look at this thing in its entirety.
But now, you know, if we go back 30, 40 years, if somebody got drunk, say the mayor of a town got drunk, in those days the cops would drive the mayor home. Now it's a DUI. You know, we had a different view of alcohol back then than we do now. So do we perhaps have a view of marijuana that it is worse than alcohol when in fact the reality is it's not?
I agree with your assumption. As I understand the product, and quite honestly, I've never tried it, Sam. I mean, you're right. I grew up in a rather permissive, you know, in the 50s and 60s, more 50s and 60s. But I'm not going to sit here and, as I said a few moments ago, on medical marijuana. But if people are going to try it recreationally, as I understand it, marijuana does not have quite the same negative impact on society as alcohol and drunk driving does.
All right. We'll be having more with former Speaker Hambrick when we come back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former Speaker John Hambrick. He is an assemblyman with District 2. Sex trafficking has been a major concern at the legislature over the past few sessions. Where are we going with this, do you believe, in this session?
Well, I have a couple bills. So one had a hearing. I will not stop my fight trying to get rid of the scourge. And I think the trafficking issue is gaining some more notoriety. I was privileged to see, actually had an article in one of the metropolitan papers, and I think this legislature will also look at this keenly. And we can't stop, Sam. I mean, this is an issue that, is it a hill to die for? In my case, yeah, it is. It really is. Because this is taking the average entry age into prostitution, particularly in the South, is 14. Now, if you say average, then we've had victims as young as 11. Life expectancy is 22. Just let that sink in for a few moments. So this is something that I'm not going to stop fighting. I can't. Morally, I just can't do it.
As you know, prostitution is rampant in Las Vegas. And because of the rules, Clark County, there is no legalized prostitution there. How would you feel if attempts were made to legalize prostitution, to get it out of the hands of the criminals and make it something that's safe for the women and safe for the clients and, go in that direction?
Well, Sam, I'll disagree with your premise. I don't think any type of nothing we can do, absolutely nothing, will ever make this safe for the women. We still, even in those counties that have legalized the prostitution, it's still not necessarily safe. We have involuntary servitude, and there have always been cases of domestic battery. In this case, I'm using within a brothel. There's always have been instances where women are beaten or worse. But I just think former Mayor Oscar Goodman proposed once upon a time a zone in Las Vegas for legalized prostitution.
As did Washoe County DA Dick Gamak.
Yeah. And
who was certainly no liberal.
No, he wasn't. But the idea didn't float well, and it died pretty much on the vine.
And so you don't see any chance of that happening in the future?
No, not right now. With the mood of the people, and I think if the politician would try to float that, I think the faith-based community would really stand up, whether it's the African-American pastors or the other Protestant pastors. I think there would just be a hue and cry on this issue.
And understood. But, I mean, it still doesn't stop the fact that, in the phone book in Las Vegas, there are literally hundreds of pages of escort services right in the phone book in the hotel room.
Yeah, there are more escorts listed than there are attorneys, and we could have fun discussing that issue for a few minutes. But
I guess I won't go down that road with you, as we're right next door to a building full of attorneys, and we're actually recording this in the old Supreme Court building. How much heat did you take over your vote on the commerce tax?
I took a lot of heat. And if it happened again, I probably would vote again. I like this governor. I've known this governor for a number of years. And he had leadership up, and we went over issues line by line. And we pretty much all understood the potential consequences. And some in the business community said if it's going to happen, okay, at least the outcome, the money should go to education and a few other areas. And the other members of the business community didn't care for it. But it's black letter law now, so we'll have to see what happens at this point, see whether it's a good outcome or a bad outcome.
Let me ask you about the news that broke yesterday as we're taping this program, which is the Bank of America appears to be a funding source for the football stadium, the Raiders potential football stadium. What are your thoughts on that? What do you know? What can you share with us?
Well, that's an easy. I don't know much. I was disappointed that Mr. Adelson backed out, and he had his own reasons. I voted in favor during special session in favor of the stadium. I think the alleged 19,000 jobs would be a real boon for the community. I think the interstate, the resort community particularly, would benefit if we have the flyovers or the walkovers that could get to the stadium. I think it's potentially a win-win for Southern Nevada and even Northern Nevada. If I understand, the training facility might be built in the Reno area.
Yeah, they kind of mentioned that, and that hasn't been heard of in a while. But still, you're absolutely right. I mean, personally, I think that this would be a huge boon on the Strip, and that all the casinos who were not necessarily in favor of a stadium. Suddenly became in favor once the Raiders name was brought into the picture. And I think they could use it for a lot of other things that we can't necessarily hold concerts for people that would draw, 70, 80,000 people. Or major soccer matches, for example, international soccer matches. Those sprinkled throughout the year as well as those games would be phenomenal. Well, listen, as always, we thank you for being here. Please come back again before the end of the session. And thanks for showing up today. We appreciate it.
Sam, thank you very much. All right. Truly appreciate you, Anna.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Liz McMenamin is here. She's Vice President for Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. And Trey Abney is Director of Government Relations for the Chamber. Pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you.
Interesting hearings yesterday. The Democrats were highlighting issues from paid leave to equal pay to access to health care. And also a priority is the Equal Rights Amendment. Liz, I understand the symbolism, but what's the point?
Well, I guess 35 years later, they're feeling like they need Nevada to speak up in some respect. However, I think that's like we were talking about earlier, Trey and I, it's a pointless vote, but it's symbolic in some way. But I'd like to go back to the unfunded mandate that in the Senate that's being looked at right now for birth control, while the Retail Association in Nevada supports and wants women to be able to have the contraceptives that they need, the unfunded mandate will hit the state hard. Another piece of it is they're trying to, the language talks about having a 12-month supply from your pharmacist. You can go in and request that of your birth control pills. And while we have no real issue with that, we would like I have many hats. We would like to make sure that you do your 3-month supply first and then go in for a 12-month supply. Oftentimes patients don't necessarily like the medication and they come back. So we're talking waste. And if I could show you pictures of the medications that we take back within the state of Nevada right now and the large quantity, I'd hate to add birth control as another form of waste out there if we do a 12-month supply initially without even having the patient try it. So that's my only stand. The ERA vote, it's truly symbolic, I'm sure.
Let me go back to the birth control issue. There's no other medication I can think of that you get a 12-month supply of.
No.
Isn't it mostly 3 months? And then with certain medications, you're required to go see a doctor after 6 months, just depending on the scheduled drug.
Well, right now, I think it's you're supposed to see your gynecologist every once a year with birth control. You'd have to get a new prescription. But you're absolutely right. It's a 90-day supply at the most for maintenance medications out there. So, yeah, it is a problem.
Trey, your thoughts?
A lot to unpack there. On the ERA vote, yes, it was symbolic, pointless, really. I'm not sure if I were a Republican male that I would vote against it. If it really doesn't mean anything, I'm not sure it's worth the headlines to vote against it and make the point. So, you know, then some people say the symbol means something. I disagree, but that's fine. You know, apparently it's Women's Week at the Nevada Legislature, unless you're a woman small business owner, and then they seem to want to attack you with all kinds of new regulations and fees and minimum wage increases and paid sick leave and all these other things. You know, on the health insurance mandates, like the Retail Association, the Chamber tends to be opposed to those. I would guess if you're just matching federal law and the insurance companies have already had to pay for these things to begin with, maybe it's not a big deal. The Democrats are obviously doing this in case of repeal of the ACA, right? And then we would have these protections in statute. I know there's definitely some concerns about the religious exemption. It would seem to me that the Second Amendment says you have the right freedom of your religion, and it doesn't say unless you're a small business owner. So I think there are some issues that need to be talked about there. Should a business owner be required to pay for things that they are morally opposed to? And I think that's an interesting conversation to have. The Chamber certainly hasn't gotten involved in this in this issue at all. But these are issues that make sense, and sometimes they sound good, but the devil's in the details here. So
let's have a fairly quick response to this next one. From what you've seen so far from this plan to repeal Obamacare and capping Medicaid, is that going to cause a big problem in the Silver State?
I think because of the way our Medicaid is handled right now, I would say yes, it probably would. Fiscally, it would be a big hit.
Because it will be the state that would have to pick
absolutely
up.
The state.
We've already seen it be a big hit, right, because they keep ratcheting down the amount of federal match. And so it is a bigger and bigger part of our budget.
And we knew that initially, too.
Yes, because it started out as 100% and then it was destined to go to 90%. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. That's where we have to leave us. We appreciate you being here. We'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
On our next broadcast, State Senator Ivana Cancela. We'll see you on the next broadcast.